Welcome to the next edition of the Resources Podcast Series. Each year, a group of exceptional insurance professionals are chosen by the National Alliance for Insurance Education and Research to represent their states and compete to become the National Outstanding CSR of the Year. This prestigious award, regarded as the foremost national award of its kind, recognizes the contributions and commitment of those who serve clients within the insurance industry. In this episode, we speak with this year's winner, Ashley Fitzsimmons, CISR. During our discussion, she shares with us her passion for the risk and insurance industry, as well as how she is looking to engage more young professionals in our space.
Well, hello. We are here with Ashley Fitzsimmons, CISR, to do a podcast this morning. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good. How did you get started in the risk and insurance industry?
I like to joke that I got roped into it by family. It wasn't by choice. If you had asked me when I was graduating that year from college if I'd ever go into the family business, it was absolutely not. I had no interest in it. I wanted to get far, far away from town, and it just so happened that somebody at the time was retiring, and my dad approached me and my uncle approached me and just said, why don't you just come in for the summer, get us through this, just give it a shot, and if you like it, fantastic. If you don't, there's no pressure at all. So I did, and 6 months later, I ended up loving it, and I stuck around. So I'm very grateful that I kind of fell into it and got roped into it.
Okay, so you're one of the two tracks. Either we typically fall into it, or we have a family business behind
us.
Okay. Why did you decide to stay in the industry?
There's nothing that I love more than a challenge. And when my dad and my uncle sat me down the first day, they were very transparent, which I think a lot of people need to be with new people entering the industry, and saying that you're probably not going to like it the first year that you're in it. Nobody's going to want to talk to you. They're not going to trust you because you're not going to be as knowledgeable as everybody else. They're going to want to talk to the person that's the owner. That made me want to prove them wrong, and made me prove that I can get all that knowledge as fast as I can, and I can gain a client base and can gain people's trust. So that was definitely one of the things that made me say, no, I'm going to like this, and I'm going to make it work for me. So I think they might have done that purposely. I think they knew that I like challenges, so that might have been like a psychological trick on their part, but it worked. I ended up loving it, and just the people that I got to talk to on a daily basis, and people saying thank you or just being so appreciative, made me want to stay in it even more.
Okay. What prompted you to begin your process of earning your CISR designation?
It kind of started out, to be honest with you, because I live in such a small town and we're not around other insurance agents a lot. We're not around big events like this. I didn't know that this stuff existed outside of our office. I didn't know that there were young agents conferences, and I didn't know that there were like fun classes that you could take. And somehow I stumbled, I don't know if it was a mailing or something, I just said, I want to take this course to get out of the office. Like it was going to be a day to get out of the office for my CISR. And I thought, if I'm going to have to sit through a class, I might as well work towards something. Mm-hmm. So really, I didn't know what else was out there other than the CISR. And I just said, okay, Dad, I'm going to start doing these courses. And I did them very quickly. I think I earned it in under a year just because it was something to do. And it was a day out, and I was learning and gaining more of a foundation, because I like the CISR courses because they take you back to the basics. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely worthwhile, but that kind of opened the door to, wow, all this other stuff is available out there for me.
How long were you in the industry before you decided to start your CISR?
I believe I started it within, I want to say, the first or second year I started it.
Okay, so it gave you that really good foundation to understand the policy contracts and the verbiage.
Yeah, because I wasn't too in deep yet with everything else, and I didn't know all of the specific company guidelines yet, which I think it's so important. Personally, for me, I think it's better to start your CISR before you really get deep into each individual company, because now when I go back for an update for those classes, it's a little bit hard for me because I'm like, well, no, that's not how company A works, and that's not how company B works.
Right.
So it's better to do it in the beginning to really build that foundation and then go off of that.
Do you find that people listen to you a little bit more now that you have the certification?
It just makes me sound more confident when I speak to a customer, and I'm more confident in myself knowing that I have that base. Sometimes if I don't understand something, I can be like, okay, let's just think back to like a regular ISO form, and where do we start, and kind of build off of that. It's definitely just helped me be more confident in helping my clients and knowing that I'm doing the right thing for them.
Okay. We hold the Outstanding CSR of the Year program every year. Why did you decide to enter it this year?
One of my good friends that I've made through insurance nominated me. She won 20 years ago for her state in North Carolina, and we became friends Actually, we first started becoming friends on social media, and I have this core group of friends that we met online through insurance networking, then we met in person finally, and they became real life friends, and now some of them have become family. Like, there's some of them will be at my wedding someday, and she is definitely one of them. And she messaged me one day and simply said, "Hey Ash, what do you consider yourself?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, what do I consider myself?" She said, "If you were to write down your title on paper, what are you?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to think I'm a producer, but I guess I'm a CSR, because that's what I do. That's my daily thing. 80% of my work is CSR work." She goes, "Okay, great." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Don't ask questions." And I got the email that said, you've been nominated. So I'm like, it just meant a lot to me that she even thought enough of me to nominate me. And then this lady's down in North Carolina, and yet she's like, "No, you deserve this. You can do this." And it just, that was touching in and of itself. So that's what made me do it, because she took the time to think of me, to nominate me, and I didn't want to let her down by not trying.
Okay. So take us through the next step. After you got that email and it indicated that you had been nominated, what was the next thing for you?
I started the process. I was, I didn't know like how many people signed up for this. I didn't know if it was going to be something. I had a lot on my plate at the time. Besides balancing work, we have like an accountability group online where we kind of push each other to do things. Like, we just created a website this year, which is crazy, I know, because I talk on social media and I talk about leveraging social media to get business, and our agency hasn't had a website until this year, and just, we haven't needed it, because we just, to this point, we haven't needed it. So I had that on my plate, and I write monthly articles for Forge 3. So there was just a lot happening outside of the office, and I thought, do I have the time to really invest in this and not do it halfway? So finally, I just sat down one night and I said, I'm going to dedicate this weekend to getting all of this done. And it turned out to be a lot easier than I thought it was going to be, because I'm just so passionate about it. So the article came very easy to me, because it was something that I do every day, and what's four things that help me get through the day, and it was just very easy to write out. So
what were those four things?
Off the top of my head, because I haven't read it in a while, I know one of them was definitely how we communicate with clients. We have to be able to not just be in the office from 9 to 5 or not be available from 9 to 5, and we have to expect that they're going to want to talk more than just on the phone. Some want to text you, and I've given my personal cell phone number to some clients, and knock on wood, no one has abused it yet. They respond very well to that, and it cuts down on your time so much, because if I just text somebody, "Hey, confirm you want to remove your vehicle or something from your policy effective this date," we don't have to have the full conversation. "Hi, how are you? Mm-hmm. How are your kids?" Not that I don't want to, it's just they're busy too, I'm busy, it's just easier. We implemented a chat feature on our website, which is really cool. I'm still trying to work out the kinks, because sometimes I don't know who's messaging me, because I think it's because I have the free version. But that's a feature that I can turn on and off from my phone. So, I mean, I even have it on right now. Somebody can message me on our website and I can call back to the office. So communication is definitely a big thing, being available after 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. People don't have claims between 9 and 5. They have claims 24 hours a day. So you need, if you care about your customers, you'll be available. Eating That Frog, I read that book. It was, I want to say, 120-page book. Such a great one. I suggest anybody read it. And it's just about get rid of that hard task. Don't let it sit on your desk. And I have a tendency to do that. If it's something that I don't want to do and I'm just staring at it, I put it to the side. But you don't even realize that while you're doing all of your other work, that in the back of your mind, that's eating away at you. Like, okay, I have to make this bad phone call, or I have to file this paperwork, because we still file. We're not paperless yet. So it's just things that eat away at you that you don't realize that are happening. That's another big one.
How did you feel when you learned that you had actually won this year?
It's very rare that I don't know what to say and that I get quiet. Typically, I could like talk to a wall probably and be totally fine. And when they told me, I just got very quiet on the phone. And it was a very quick phone call. Dr. Hold was talking to me. He's like, "Do you know who this is?" And I'm like, "Keep talking. Maybe I'll be able to figure it out." Because a lot of clients do that to me, and I'm pretty quick at that. And he kept talking. I'm like, "I apologize, I have no idea who this is." And he said it was Dr. Hold, and I thought, okay, they're either gonna tell me I won or lost, and they were there to congratulate me. And I got very quiet, and then when I hung up the phone, Danielle called back 10 minutes later and said, "So is everything okay? We got a little nervous. Sometimes people like scream or cry or drop the phone, and you just got silent." Like, well, that's my screaming or crying. I just don't know what to say.
Okay. Well, let's take that to just before the award ceremony yesterday. How were you feeling inside before you had to walk up there and accept your award?
Definitely nervous. I definitely get nervous in front of large groups of people, and I speak in front of them often, but the nerves never go away. And I think that's a good thing. I think when you, the day that comes that I don't get nervous, there's gonna be something wrong. I think having nerves like keeps you a little bit on your toes. Mm-hmm. But definitely being able to stand up there and watch the video calmed me down. I think if I had to speak right in the beginning, I would have been uncomfortable, but being able to stand up there and watch the video, and I was like tearing up in some parts, relaxed me a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be incredibly difficult for me to watch all of my peers and my family talk about me. So I'm just wondering, how was that for you? Did it make you feel good inside to see that, or did it make you a little...
No, it made me feel great inside. Okay. And I didn't even know Jason Ernest. I knew that they wanted him to speak. He is the CEO of our state association, and I'm the youngest one ever to get on the PA board. And he and I have become very good friends. I always joke I blame him for all of this, because if it weren't for him and meeting him at a conference, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago now, he kind of pulled me out of my shell. I was at a conference that I should have never been at. It was, again, something to get out of the office. Didn't even know all this stuff existed. And then we met there, we built a friendship, and he got me involved in our Young Agents program that I actually helped create in Pennsylvania, which is called our Futures Conference. And just it snowballed from there with podcasts and articles and speaking in Miami, and it was just so many incredible things came from that friendship. And he won't say that it was all his fault, but it definitely is all his fault. So when I saw him on the screen speaking, I was like tearing up too, because I'm like, oh, they got him to talk too. And then I immediately texted him and said his check would be in the mail later, because it was such nice things that he said.
Well, good. How did you feel after you walked off the stage?
Felt a little bit of relief that it was all done, but it didn't really set in like how big this award was. And I don't mean that in a like an ignorant kind of way. I just mean that I didn't realize like how many people knew about this award and how much it truly meant. And I knew that it was a big deal when I won, and I was totally grateful, but it really didn't hit me until I got here that I'm like, man, this is a big deal. And it's just, it means so much that I won it. I never thought in a million years that, I mean, when I won Pennsylvania, I'm like, okay, that's cool, but then what are the odds that I win nationally? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, I honestly don't think it's like fully set in yet. I think it's gonna take until I get home. I've just been running so much the last 2 months, mm-hmm. from conferences to here, and now I go to Atlanta tonight, and it's just, I'm ready to sit down at home and just take it all in. Mm-hmm. So the next 2 months will be nice.
Okay, that's fair. I know it's new, but since you learned that you've won, has this affected your career at all?
I've definitely got a lot more connections on LinkedIn. Kind of a cool thing. I was standing outside by myself yesterday, and this young man came up to me and he said, you know, you walked up on stage and you looked so familiar, and I could not figure out why I knew you. And he said, they said your name, and I immediately looked you up on LinkedIn. He's like, I've been following you for months now, and I've been liking your posts and reading your articles. And he said, it's just such a small world. And mm-hmm. that has happened a handful of times now. Like, I follow you on social media, or like, oh, you're the Beyonce of insurance. And it's humbling every single time, because I'm like, why do you follow me? Go follow some, like, I'm so humbled by that. So that was like a pretty cool experience, where he's like, I knew you, I couldn't figure out from where. So it's definitely, some people have reached out and said congratulations that I never thought would have. So I'm hoping it'll be a couple of referrals through our door now because of word of mouth.
What does that mean, the Beyonce of insurance?
It started out as a complete joke. A producer just wasn't doing it for me on my LinkedIn. I thought, okay, everybody's a producer. Everybody's a customer service rep. So I just thought, I want to put a name on there that's eye-catching. I said, and whether you like Beyonce or not, you know who she is. And that's mm-hmm. why I chose that name. It's just because she is a strong and powerful force in her industry and multiple industries across the board. And that's basically the only reason I chose that name, is just because I wanted something that was attention grabbing, and it surely worked.
Going back to that award ceremony yesterday, there in that video, we heard someone tell a story about your client and a loss that they experienced. Can you recount that story for us again?
Sure. So I was sitting in my office the one day, and like I had mentioned in the video, when one fire truck goes by, you really don't think anything of it. But when six or seven start to go by, and then you see towns that aren't even close to you, and you see their trucks going by, and especially the direction that they were going, you know they're going out into the country, you start to get like a pit in your stomach, because everybody in town, even if you don't insure them, you know them, and it's a family member or a friend of somebody, and you just, especially when you get up towards the country area, and you just get nervous, because when you're in the country, it takes so much longer for a fire truck to get there or an ambulance or something, and you get nervous. And when I found out whose house it was, I don't remember if I saw it on Facebook, or I'm friends with some of the firemen, so I can text them and say, hey, you know, what's going on, what's happening. I went up there immediately, and I took them donuts and coffee, not that it was going to help, and I just stood by them, because I know that I couldn't do anything at that moment. It was a hunting cabin. These men had built it themselves from scratch. It was absolutely beautiful. You know, his son grew up there. His son, I think at the time, was 11 or 12, and that's what they did. The hunting is very big in our area. It's definitely something that connects and brings everybody together. Our family has a hunting cabin as well. And to stand there and see just a pile of ash and the wood stove that caught on fire, and it was just a total freak accident. Nobody left anything on it. Was just disheartening to me, and I just know that I would want somebody there with me, and I wouldn't want to have to go through that claims process alone or have the adjuster come up and not know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I said, if I can do anything, I'm just going to stand here with you. And they were just so grateful. I almost felt bad, because I know it started to rain or something that day. There was snow on the ground, but it started to rain. And he's like, get in my truck here. I'll pour you some coffee. I'm like, no, I'm here for you. Like, they started treating me like a princess. I'm like, no, I'm here for you. Don't worry about me. Mm-hmm. And to this day, through whatever, 2 or 3 years later, it's now rebuilt. He still comes in and thanks me and says, I will never leave, because it's unbelievable that you just came up there. And I didn't even do anything. I just drove up there.
Right.
So
sometimes they just need us to sit with them through the sadness.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's something it's so simple. And yet there's probably hundreds of agents out there that don't even think to do that, which mm-hmm. blows my mind, because it's just natural as a human being that you want to help somebody.
Right. At the end of the day, I think insurance is just about helping people in whatever way you can, whether that's
exactly.
through insuring them, through the claims process, through the referral, however you can do it.
Exactly.
Okay. I was doing a little research and learning more about you, and then watching you yesterday in that video presentation and then hearing your speech after, it is infinitely clear. You have a passion about inspiring young professionals to come into this industry. How can we, as those who are already here, help you with that mission?
I would love to be able to go to colleges. I think I don't know that I would actually personally want to go to colleges, because I feel like when you go to a college, you already kind of have that mindset a little bit of what you want to do and what direction you want to go into life. So I think the internship program is awesome, but everybody that's in the internship program already knows that, okay, I'm going in this risk assessment direction. I think that in our area, because we don't have that type of program, we have one in Temple, but not a lot of people. I had no idea it existed at Temple until I was in college and found out I had friends in it. I would love to be able to have some sort of material that I could go to high schools with and get more heavily involved with FBLA, because I know that's what our association is currently working on. And just be able to sit down with high school students and talk to them about it. And it's a little bit hard for me to facilitate on my own, just because I've got other stuff going on, and I know my dad and my uncle need me and want me in the office, so it's hard to balance both of those things. But even if I could, you know, take maybe a Friday off one day and just go to somebody's school that wants me to come in there if they're having some sort of like job fair or something along those lines, or just talk to a specific group of students, I would love to do that, because they definitely don't understand all of the amazing opportunities that insurance offers, that it's not sitting at a desk from 9 to 5. And, right. you know, you can ask a student, what are you interested in? And they might say antique cars, or I love cosmetology. I'm like, okay, well, you need insurance on antique cars. You need salons and spas need insurance. So you can literally find any niche market that you want and just go after that and enjoy all of the perks of those things as well. They don't realize that everything needs insurance to start. Mm-hmm. So you can literally go into anything that you want.
Right. I've had an opportunity to talk to a number of college students in the last probably year and a half, 2 years, and it is amazing trying to have that conversation with them about just changing the face of what this industry looks like. And it sounds like you're off to a great start letting them know that anything they're passionate about, that's where you can find your space. Mm-hmm. It is not the door-to-door salesman anymore. It is not just the quintessential guy coming home with his briefcase. That's not what we do.
Right.
It's very, very different these days.
It takes a very special breed to be an insurance agent, because I'm not a salesman, I'm an educator. Like, I don't want to sell somebody something just because I want money in my pocket. And I know that there's plenty of people out there like that, and they just focus on volume through the front door and they don't care about the back. I want you to buy it because you understand why you need it. And I mean, even though the door-to-door salesman thing like isn't a big thing anymore, I mean, I'll be out inspecting a house and it might be in a beautiful development, and I'll go up to the house next door and knock on their door and be like, you have a beautiful property. Would you mind if like I quoted your insurance for you? Or it makes it even easier when they come out and they say, who's this crazy lady walking around my neighbor's house? Let me check. And then I explain who I am and say why I'm there. And then they're like, oh, you come out to inspect the house? And I'm, yeah, because I want to make sure you don't have a trampoline next to the pool that you're doing backflips on. So,
right.
I mean, that portion is actually a little bit fun to me still, that you can do the door-to-door sales and not just get everything from the computer, because I just like talking to people and creating that initial connection.
Right. Going back to helping.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You mentioned being on the board of PA, then you also mentioned the Futures Conference. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Futures, and then also, are you part of any other professional organizations?
Definitely. So I'm on a couple of boards because I learned that I can't say no to people. So I am, I'm on our Greater YMCA board, which definitely is part of giving back to the community and helping out in that aspect. And I'm on a foundation board for, it's called the Human Resource Center. And it is a board with, it's a company that helps intellectually and physically delayed individuals basically thrive in life. So they have jobs that they can come and do. They're very basic jobs every day, like just put one piece on this, but they're for major companies. Some are for cars and some are for manufacturing companies. And then if they aren't capable of doing that, they also teach them life skills. So it's kind of like a day program where they do crafts and it gets them out of the house and it just gives them an overall better quality of life. And we recently created a foundation when someone had left a large donation when they passed away. Basically because government funding obviously is always a threat and of getting cut, and we want to be able to continue giving this quality of life to the consumers, God forbid something happens. So the foundation has definitely been something I'm very proud to be on, because I grew up, my mom has worked there since she got out of college, so I grew up knowing these consumers and these clients all throughout my life, and it's just a very important part to me, again, going back to helping. Mm-hmm. So I'm on a couple of boards, and I'm sure I'll be approached for some other ones, and just waiting. I kind of avoid the people so I don't get asked. But the Futures Conference is something I'm very passionate about. Mm-hmm. It's for agents 40 and under. This year we opened it up to, you can be over 40, but you have to be new to the industry.
Okay.
But we still got a lot of young agents this year, just we were trying to expand our footprint a little bit. And it's sales techniques, perpetuation planning. You can kind of go on different tracks depending on if you're a CSR or if you're an agency principal or kind of going on that track. And I just find that the most useful part of all of these conferences that I ever go to is 100% the networking. Being down there and talking to everybody and getting to know them on a more personal level and not having to sit and listen to a speaker. Mm-hmm. So I've just created so many good connections and friendships from there. And I probably wouldn't have a website this year if it weren't for people that I met at an event that held me accountable for it.
Now that you've obtained the CISR, would you recommend securing any additional designations?
I would definitely encourage anybody that has the ability to get out of the office and take those, and if even better, if your employer will pay for them, that's fantastic.
What advice would you give to someone who maybe is not even considering insurance, or they've heard just a little bit about it? What would you tell them?
I have made incredible friends because of insurance, and connections, like meaningful connections. So I would say if you want to go and see the world, that's awesome. You can do that through insurance. If you want a feeling that you're actually making a difference in someone's life, you can do that because of insurance. You can really make it whatever you want it to be.
Well, it's clear why you won Outstanding CSR of the Year. So we congratulate you again, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching our resources videocast. We would like to thank Ashley Fitzsimmons, CISR, for her time and dedication to our fantastic industry. Look for more information to further your own professional development by registering for our insurance and risk management programs. For more podcasts, visit our website at scic.com.